This is Mike May on behalf of Playback Magazine reporting on the International Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, Nevada. There are a number of things that were reported in the general media that I won't touch on, such as streaming video, the largest television screen almost 13 feet across, and lots of other things that we won't get into here. Rather, we'll go into some of the things that are relevant for a blind person, either in terms of accessibility or in terms of things like cell phones and radios and so forth. Let me get started right away with one of my interviews on the floor. Picture, it's pretty crazy out there. It's really hard to hear. You've got to lean in. You're going to hear some of the distortion that comes from the loud crowds that are all around and all the music that's booming and the people that are going by. The visual eye candy that's out there is just makes this a very vibrant, noisy, intense environment. 1.7 million square feet of exhibitor space, thousands of exhibitors, and lots of chaos. It's fun, exciting, intense, and a little frustrating all at the same time. So let's get going with one of the first interviews having to do with cell phone products. So this is CellPoint Connect?
Yeah, CellPoint Connect.
Okay.
And on our NX6000 headset.
Can I feel it?
Yeah, sure.
So this is the Bluetooth?
Yep. It's nice and small.
It's very small, light.
If you feel the front, you'll feel the two mic ports.
Okay.
So we're one of the few headsets with it, and we were actually the first to have a dual microphone array.
Okay, so is this any competition with like the Jawbone?
Yeah, we would be in the same space as a Jawbone.
Okay.
A little bit smaller, we're Bluetooth 2.0.
Well, tell you what, it's so noisy in there and hard to hear this guy. I'll come back to you with a review I hope to do of this product. They said they would send me one, and I can compare it with the Motorola headset that I have, the Jawbone, Plantronics, and a number of other ones, along with a better-known company, Plantronics, and hear what they have to say about their particular new products.
Okay, so this is the Callisto Pro Series from Plantronics. The MSRP is $279.95, and what it is it's a cordless landline phone that is paired with a Bluetooth headset. It has a small handset and a Bluetooth headset with a long boom that are paired together, and you can actually use the headset to answer landline, VoIP, and mobile calls, and it also allows you to transfer up to 200 Outlook contacts into the phone book of the phone. It's about 6 inches across, about 4 inches tall. It actually sits flat as opposed to most cordless phones, which stand up. So that allows it to nest into the charging base well.
And like all the Plantronic products, the Bluetooth fits into its nice little nesting charger within the base station. And then the cordless phone is not as tall as most. It's short. It's almost more like a larger cell phone size, with nice distinct buttons.
It's small because it's designed to be worn, to take it with you as you roam around the home. It has a belt clip on the back end that actually sits upside down so that when you flip up the belt clip, it allows you to view caller ID and do dialing while you're wearing it on your waistband.
Okay, and the cordless handset, you said, goes up to about 300 feet, and then the Bluetooth goes your typical 30 feet. And the Bluetooth headset will work with your cell phone and with this landline unit, you could switch between them.
That's correct. You would have to, if you were on a landline call and a mobile call come in, you would have to end your landline call to pick up the mobile call, because we're not actually controlling the mobile phone. Uh-huh. It's just the headset is communicating between both.
And for contact information, people can probably go to Plantronics.com.
That's correct.
And, of course, we're all interested in better cell phone signals. Don't you hate it when your cell phone doesn't work in your own house?
It's an antenna that supports and increases the signal strength on the cell phones and or air cards by attaching with an adapter to your actual independent model.
And it's physically, plastic is about 6 inches tall and 3 inches wide, maybe half an inch thick.
Correct.
And it would suction cup up against a window or something.
Or sit on the desk.
And what is that, what's the MSRP for that?
$39.95.
Okay, and then it needs adapters to go with the different cell phone models. Do you know what the effective gain is?
It's a 3 dBi gain.
And what's the website for contact information?
Antennas.com.
Plantronics also had a Bluetooth headset with noise canceling that they're supposed to send me a review model of. They had a stereo headset where you could take one of the earpieces off and use it just as a single ear cell phone headset, or you could use it for stereo for listening to music. I saw a couple of different models of headsets that were like that. Moving more into the audio arena, here is kind of a cool AM/FM radio that was able to be coupled with an iPod, but most importantly, it had haptic feedback, meaning that when you turned the knob that tuned the stations or went through the menus, it would be a little sticky in the spots where there was something that was highlighted. This could be for going through the iPod menu and the different items that were being displayed as you went by with this click wheel, or it could be as you went through the stations and a strong signal would show up on the screen and also feel kind of sticky with this twist knob, this click knob. It was a very interesting product.
The company is called Q Acoustics.
How's it spelled?
C-U-E. And Q is the thing the conductor does when he tells the ride to start playing.
C-U-E.
The website is qacoustics.com. So C-U-E.
Qacoustics.com. And this device is called?
It's called the radio.
The radio. And it's got an iPod sitting on top.
That's right.
And it's
you feel right in front of the iPod, feel that? That's the snooze mute button. Again, it's capacitive.
Okay.
So when the alarm goes off, or if you just want to mute it, if you touch that, if you feel that, you hit the mute button. That's it.
Okay.
And this, of course, the music. AM/FM iPod. It's got a two-way speaker. Actually, I'm going to pull this one over here so you can feel this. So right there, you can feel it's got a woofer. It's going to hurt it. You can touch
right.
it.
Right. Woofer's
and
in the front.
And then in the middle, there's a tweeter. If you feel right, you can feel a tweeter.
And is there a second speaker?
And there's a second speaker, which is actually over here.
Oh, it's an outboard.
Yep. And the second speaker, when you plug it into the back, it automatically goes to a stereo profile. There's no TV on this, but there is an auxiliary input port on the back.
I see an RJ45 back here, too.
That's right. That's for programming the radio, and future versions of this may have other accessibility or other capabilities in terms of things like internet radio.
And this next jack over?
Next jack over is that is the auxiliary input. Next jack okay. next to that is the same kind of jack, but it's AM, external AM antenna, FM antenna, and then the power plug, and then the satellite speaker connector. Because the system is completely software-based, right, we have that programming part back. It's interesting because we've been talking about other versions of the software for dedicated use, like accessibility issues.
Don't you love hearing a mainstream manufacturer use the word accessibility when they're thinking about product design? Well, this next product is one that doesn't really need a whole lot of accessibility modification. It just comes that way out of the box, only a couple buttons and not a whole lot to do, but it works great.
The name of the company is Orbit Sounds, and the product is the Orbit Sound T3, and the projected US list price is $149. It's a battery-powered stereo speaker that you wear around your neck. And we're describing it as a personal stereo aura, and the idea of it is that you take any source that's got a 3.5 output and plug it into the personal stereo aura, hang it around your neck, and you've got true stereo sound, and it's like a sound bubble or sound aura around your head. You've also got the transference of bass via your breastbone and body cavity, so you get an enhanced stereo effect and a deeper bass than the unit should be able to make. It's about 19 millimeters thin and 22 with the speaker. The speaker kind of sticks out on top, if you like. It's got a little bubble of a speaker. But it's using air sound technology, which is single point source technology, which is completely scalable from a micro speaker like this, which you wear around your neck, right up to stadium speakers. We've got www.orbitsound.co.uk. It says O-R-B-I-T-S-O-U-N-D, and that's our main website at the moment. It's probably going to be March, April time before they come to market.
Here's an AM/FM clock radio that would go on your nightstand. It's very elegant, wood-looking, a couple different colors, great German design, and I have one like it on my bedside stand, and this one sounds pretty interesting.
So this is a Sonoro. It's about 8 by 10 inches, mono speaker on top, tactile buttons on the front, and it's got stereo output. It's a mono speaker in the base wooden unit. There's different colors, different styles, but all nice wooden receivers. It's got a port in the back. This is pumping out some pretty good air. And it's got an auxiliary input for other devices. And what's your website?
www.sonoro-audio.com.
Sonoro with O's, sonoro-audio.com.
Logitech has a whole range of nice Bluetooth keyboards and mice and various office and home office efficiency products. And here's a summary of a couple of things to think about with Logitech.
So that was Logitech. They have a Squeezebox remote, Wi-Fi. They have a new Harmony, which is touchscreen but seems to have some buttons. And they have a nice keyboard. It's not a foldable, but it's a small keyboard with pretty good keys. It appears to be Bluetooth with a USB dongle.
What I was talking about there was the Harmony 1. The Harmony 1000 is a full touchscreen unit. It wouldn't be all that great. The way the Harmony works is you go onto a website, you plug in all of your stereo component model numbers, then you connect via a USB cable to the Harmony remote, and all of the parameters from those stereo components are downloaded into the Harmony so that you can then have universal control of your stereo components from one box. It's a little tricky to set up, but once you get it going, the older model I have worked great, and I'm hoping the new one does as well. We've all heard about the TiVo. This is the simple interface for video recording. There's a new player in this arena. It's called Moxie, and they won an Innovations Award at CES. And I was curious to find out if their web interface would also be accessible. So they've agreed to give me a sample account to try this out. Here's a little bit of a description of this new player in the video recording arena.
So we're looking at the Moxie, M-O-X-I.com is the website, the Moxie DMR, and the cinema box goes over the air or works with cable, but not yet DirecTV. And we're going to check out the accessibility. Aiden is going to send me some information to see how it works with the web interface.
There was a real abundance of GPS devices at this year's CES, and most of them are the generic car / pedestrian units with anywhere from 2.5, 3.5, or 4.3 size LCD screens. There's a few products that I'll mention here that are a little bit different. There are also a number of products in the tracking, GPS tracking category, and one is from a company called Spot Inc. You pay $150 a year subscription fee, and you pay $150 for the hardware itself. And what you get is a small device that clips onto your belt. And when you're hiking or out in a boat, somebody can get on a web page. And the way it works is that you clip this device onto your person, or it could be onto an animal for that matter. And whenever you are hiking or out in the woods or mountains or out to sea for that matter, a person can get on a website and find out where you are. You can get some basic information, a few messages. It's not telling you, the user, your position. It's telling the person who's looking you up on the web what your position is. But you can get a few messages onto your display. And you can also push a 911 equivalent button, which would summon help, and the service would then alert authorities to exactly what your position is, and they would come find you. This is taking place via a satellite uplink as opposed to a cell phone connection that some of the other devices use. Another GPS product is from a company called AutoPage, and this is more typical. There's a number of services like this. You pay $14.99 a month, and the device has a GSM cell phone component which sends your position from the GPS receiver to a website, and somebody can track you via a web page once again. Also with products in this GPS tracking category, we have Supa, S-U-P-A. It does not do positioning. We have Zoomback, Z-O-O-M-B-A-K. Trimble has an interesting product. They've been traditionally in the military commercial side of GPS, but they have an outdoor division, and they are now providing a couple of different consumer GPS products. And their main twist is that they have maps that are for trails and topographical maps and areas that aren't typically covered by the other products. Goodyear has gotten into the GPS business, and they have a rugged unit. Of course, it feels kind of like tire treads, as you might expect. An interesting product is from IDC, India Delta Charlie. They have a little GPS that goes on your keychain next to your car clicker remote, and its sole purpose is to help you find your way back to a set location. It has a built-in compass. So you get out of your car in a parking lot, you click the locator button, it records your GPS position, you go inside the mall, and when you come back out, you can click the find button, and between the compass and the GPS position, it points you in the direction of your car. We call that the getting warmer method. So no maps, just this simple location option. You can, of course, use it in the same way coming out of a hotel or any number of other places. It sells for about $100, so it's a little pricey as GPS receivers go, but it's simple and it has that one real specific application that's probably appropriate for some people. Both Garmin and Magellan, leaders in the GPS consumer industry and industrial industry for that matter, have come out with voice input systems that are quite interesting, but as it turns out, not really accessible. They make things a bit more convenient for the car driver, but you have to be a sighted person to be able to use the menus and to select the items and to be able to say what the unit is prompting you to say from the visual screen. Here's a little taste of the Garmin product.
Basically the Nuvi 880 is an ASR equipped, so advanced speech recognition equipped device. Very similar to our other products that we have actually out there on the market, the Where To View Map. The ASR kind of works in a different way. We actually, over here on the steering wheel, we have a remote pod that activates the listening portion of it right there.
And is that Bluetooth or how does it?
It's ANT. It's the similar thing that we work with on our fitness products. It's a way to sync it to the unit itself.
So I hit this button?
Yeah, you hit that button. Where to?
Select a search category.
Food and drink.
Select a subcategory.
Barbecue.
Select a line number.
Page down. Page down. Line two. Line two.
Would you like to begin navigation?
Show map. Main menu. Find nearest Italian.
Select a line number.
Line three.
Would you like to begin navigation?
Main menu. Tools. Tools.
Select a tools option.
Settings.
Select a settings option.
System.
Select a system setting.
GPS simulator.
GPS simulator.
Off. On. Main menu. I just turned it off.
When you said line two, you saw a list of stuff.
Yeah.
How could I get it to talk that list?
Oh, okay. That would be something we'd have to work on. That's where we would actually have it to say that list.
That's where I want to be able to say up, up, down, and when I say up,
it
then
tells
it says
you the list.
What the item is.
Yeah, and I definitely understand the need for that.
Chargers are really the bane of our existence when it comes to electronics. They're bulky, they're complicated, they have ends that are confusing, and so forth. Wouldn't it be nice if that got simplified? And there have been a few products to address that. There's one device from PowerCast that is transmitting power wirelessly. It'll go up to about approximately a foot, maybe 18 inches. And the way that it works is the device that has PowerCast built in or has a little PowerCast dongle connected to it can then take advantage of this wireless power. So you would have this workstation, this PowerCast station that's plugged in somewhere, and then you just put your device near it or on it. And the closer it is to the PowerCast, the quicker it charges. Then you don't have to have a whole lot of wires connected, only the one for the workstation. There's a somewhat similar product. It's not wireless, but similar in charging specific devices that have to have the technology built in from Wild Charge. And I reported on this last year. It's gotten much better. And a number of devices now have Wild Charge adapters or dongles, if you will. The iPods, of course, and the iPhone, and a number of other phones and music devices have the Wild Charge adapter. It's pretty small, and once it has that adapter on there, you can lay the device on the Wild Charge, and it looks like a mouse pad, about 8 inches square, and so you could get about 5 devices on that mouse pad size charger, and you don't have to plug anything in. They just have to have the adapter that we're talking about. Well, there are so many devices, it just goes on and on and on. Just miscellaneous items I'll throw out there. There's a company called Century Safe that makes hard drives that are actually built into a safe with a USB cable coming out of it, or you can get them with DVDs, particular size to fit DVDs. Oh, there's a thing called Yogi, as in the bear, Yogi Gatekeeper Pico. It has 13 applications. It runs Linux on a USB thumb drive, and you plug that in, and that is your virus protection firewall that runs outboard, so your computer could run faster. And I'm going to try that out to see how it works. Pinnacle has a little box that will transfer video. It's $129 from, let's say, your DVD or your VHS or whatever. It'll transfer without having to run through a bunch of software. It'll do the conversion back and forth between cameras and VHS and DVD players and so forth. Ubiquiti has iTunes flagging. Now, this is something that's going on a number of different devices. And the idea is you've got an HD radio in your car and you're listening to this high definition signal. It sounds like CD quality coming over the FM band. And you hear a song that you like. You push a button, it flags that so that next time you log into your iTunes account with your iPod, you can then purchase that song. You don't have to remember who it was by or whatever. It's just a way of putting it in your wish list. If anybody has Audible, you know about the wish list. Casio had an amazing camera, the F1 digital camera. It does 60 frames per second on a still camera and up to 1200 frames per second on the video portion of the same camera. It does not only face recognition but smile recognition. So you point towards your subject and they aren't quite smiling, you click the button and it sits there and waits until it sees a smile, and then it clicks appropriately. So a blind person might even be better off using this thing. It's going to sell for $1,000. They showed an example of a water balloon being popped with the 60 frame per second still image, and you can capture it, look at it one frame at a time, see the balloon shrink, and then the water ball suspended in midair. There's a click-free backup, a USB drive that you can just plug into a particular computer, and without doing anything, running any software, it backs up your data files, and then next time you plug it in, it recognizes which files have been updated and does the same thing again, updates the new files. They're going to have a 750 drive coming out soon. Roomba has something called the iRobot. If you've ever seen a Roomba, it's about a 16-inch disc vacuum that goes around your house and automatically vacuums. And the iRobot goes around the house with a camera. You can send it around into different rooms and use the camera from a webcam remotely to see what's going on. So you want to check on your rabbit or your dog or see if anybody's been in your bedroom or something. You can do it remotely with this camera that can walk around your house. I like the Centurion CD Tower. This is a CD storage system whereby you have a drive, you put the CD in, it retrieves the data, keeps track of which songs and titles go together, then it puts it into a CD caddy, 100 CDs in each caddy, and anytime you want to play a particular song, you can look it up on your computer, punch it up, and it grabs that CD and plays it. There also is a version that doesn't have a CD drive that you put your discs in and out of manually, but you have to put them into your own drive to find out what the title is to get cataloged into the system. The version with a CD drive is, I believe, $4.99, and the one without is something like $1.49. There was a lot of different robot products, the TriBot. One of my favorite goofy ones was an ice chest that was remote controls. So you could be sitting in your couch potato position and want the ice chest to come to you. You push the remote control and steer it over to you. It kind of doubles as a toy and a refrigerator at the same time. And of course, there is the tank chair. picture a wheelchair or really a cush lounge chair with big wheels on it that are about 2.5 feet tall and maybe a foot across, so you could do off-road cruising in wheelchair style. And it can go up and over things, and it's pretty rugged. I drove it around the exhibit floor a little bit, and fortunately didn't squash anybody's toes, but it looked pretty cool. Parrot had a hands-free car Bluetooth speaker kit that I'm going to review to see how it compares with the Motorola HF 800 series products. Datex, I've reported on in the past, D-A-T-E-X-X, at a.com to get to their website. They were touting their green power systems. They have a lot of little devices that are $15, $20, $30. Outdoor and LED lamp and motion detection and cell phone charging from a crank. Emergency smart light, they call it. A special kind of night light. Everything with LEDs and motion detectors, so your lights turn off when they're not being used, only when you come into the room. And they make a lot of neat talking products, watches and clocks and calculators and so forth. They have something called the U-Timer. These are all about $30. Something with a photo sensor for security in your house, so your lights come on for a while when you're at night when you're not at home, and they stay on for whatever period of time you want, 2, 4, 6 hours. Datex is coming out with a light bar that's the equivalent of a 60 or 80 watt light bulb, I think, and it's going to have a bar of 30 LEDs. It's going to be about a foot long and put out a lot of power that only takes 2.2 watts as compared to the 60 watts of the incandescent bulb. Belkin had a washable mouse. You could spill paint on it or get peanut butter and stick it in the sink and wash it off, and away it goes. Logitech had a laptop power adapter. It comes with 11 tips. It's called the Home Office. It sells for $89. It has a USB power port. It has a car adapter and all the different ones. So this is the ultimate laptop adapter you can use in a whole lot of different situations. I usually talk about the parties at CES, but I don't think there's any time left. I suppose the most exciting thing along those lines was a Mary J. Blige concert I went to at the typical Monster private corporate party. She was incredible. And Kevin Costner and his band played at the Gibson tent outside of the main convention center. A friend of mine plays in his band, so I got a great chance to go hang out with them afterwards, see the Gibson tour bus, which was amazing, with a piano inside and all kinds of guitars. And then we went off to the hotel with the whole band and had dinner with Kevin Costner and his wife and the band and the guy who wrote Dances with Wolves, and had a great CES all around. Really loved it. And of course, Bill Gates did his typical keynote address. This is the last. He announced his retirement in July, and he had fun poking fun at himself and what he's going to be like in retirement. And here's a couple words from him, and I'll go ahead and sign off after that.
The first digital decade has been a great success. And thousands of companies here have worked together, whether it's to do great hardware, great applications, driving the platform for it, or the content that comes in from movies to video games. Now, this is just the beginning. There's nothing holding us back from going much faster and much further in the second digital decade.
So thanks for joining me for this 2008 CES summary report. Hope you enjoyed it and have a few things you can research and look into and try out yourself. And stay tuned for a couple of other follow-up reviews that I hope to do on some of the products I've mentioned here. For information about any of these products, have a look on the web. I don't have any more contact details than I've mentioned thus far. This is Mike May at Sendero Group. If you'd like any information about our products, including GPS, Victor Stream and other products carried by Humanware, the Mini Guide, the ID-Mate, and the Tox products from Nuance, you can contact us toll-free at 1-888-757-6810. Thanks for listening.